Happy Valentine's Day coming up. Well, all right. Harriet, thank you. Harriet's excited about it. That's the only one that matters to me. I heard a good joke today. Can I pass along a little joke? Come on. Thank you, Jonathan. What does Valentine's Day and a volcano have in common? I lava you. Lydia told me. Lydia's my little joke teller. I love her. She's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Our life groups kicked off just in the last few weeks. I just want to tell you how proud I am of you, us, all of us. The largest number of people getting involved in our life groups this time. We had 277 people sign up to participate. Woo! Amazing. Come on, that's clapworthy. Better than a golf clapworthy. Like, that's so good. So I'm proud of you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Also, this is the stack of prayer cards that came in last week. The largest number of prayer cards came in last week that we'd ever had. And what does that mean? Well, it means that you, us, all of us, by faith, believe God is hearing us and answering our prayers. It means that when you are writing those down, it's not that you're, you know, sending them to us, your staff, to pray for them, which you do, but your writing is your prayer. It's your faith, as Michelle was saying, it's your faith. And you're stepping out in faith when you write that. By the time we get it, you've already sent it to heaven, and we're just coming along behind it saying, yes, God, that's the prayer. We're with them. And God answers prayers. And I want to encourage you to continue to fill those out. One of the things I do when I see these cards, though, and I go through them every week, name by name, person by person, and prayer by prayer, and I kind of take account, though, of kind of what is going on in the needs of our church body. You can see the needs by the prayer request. And typically, every week, there are three main themes that kind of come out of these. Now, so many unique things that are in there from, you know, praying about college to things like that. But kind of uniquely, three things kind of rise each time. And there's always things about healing, physical healing, and, you know, either for yourself or someone else, and that's always in there. The next is something to do with finances, a job, sell a house, business, things in the area of finances. But the third area that tends to come into play very consistently are marriages. Either their own marriage or a family member, you know, someone that has marriage struggles in some ways. And so this series today on marriage tune-up comes in a large part from just seeing the needs that are in our church body. And so we want to take this series as a marriage tune-up to help tune up the marriages, to strengthen the marriages. And so hopefully over time, now I want you to always list in there that, you know, if you have a marriage thing going on, we want to pray for you. But my hope is that area decreases over the next 3 weeks because God is in the move in those areas. And so marriage tune-up. Now, I want to tell you that this series is a tune-up. So if you take your car to get a tune-up, then that doesn't mean you're getting the transmission fixed. So if your transmission's broken, a tune-up isn't going to fix that. If your marriage is completely broken, you need to go to the body shop and get some extra work, all right? So we're going to do a tune-up, which means we're going to help your marriage. If you have deep marriage problems, I may not be able to solve all that in 3 weeks here from the platform. But I do believe that if you apply these principles, regardless of where you are in your marriage, that it will make a significant difference. If you're not married, if you're single, and you're hopeful one day you want to be married, this is a great place to take notes and learn. If you've decided that you're going to remain single for the rest of your life and that's where you want to be, and listen, I believe God affirms that and it's great. You're going to learn principles about relationships that will help in so many ways. So I hope to kind of include everyone in there. But just to let you know, I really want to see marriages strengthened through this in this marriage tune-up series. What I'm going to do is I'm going to preach for about 20 minutes. Then I have a stool here that my beautiful bride's going to come up, and she's going to kind of help finish off the sermon with me today. And so she'll be up here in a little bit, and that'll be great. The title of my message today is Priority and Pursuit. And so we want to learn that our marriage relationship must be a priority in our life, and that we must pursue that relationship if we want it to be healthy. To begin today's message, though, I want to tell you a little bit about my marriage and just a little bit of, you know, where we began. And our first date was December the 16th, 1981. Yeah, that was a long time ago. 1981. I was in the eighth grade. No, she's saying no. Did I already? 1979. Awesome. So there you go. Time flies for me, babe. That's all. Really? All right, so there you go. So 1979. So I don't know. Some way back. I can tell you this. I remember she had on little boots. And we went to the high school basketball game together on our first date. I remember that. So that's right. That's good. So that's what matters. Our first kiss was the next day. I don't know. I'm kidding. But I was hopeful, I'm sure. Let's get to something I do know. I proposed on April 27th, 1989. That's correct, right? All right. Awesome. Here's a picture, though. This is what you'll love right here. That was when I proposed to her. Check us out. We had a limo. Men, when you're marrying up, you put on suspenders and a pink shirt, and you put on your striped pants, and you go for it. And so, oh my gosh. That was in style, believe it or not, for about a week. The next date maybe has as much relevance as any. September 23rd, 1989, 5 months later, we were married, and here's our picture of us being wed. She's so cute, man. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, so I just thought I'd throw that in there just because it's Valentine's and we're talking about marriages, and maybe you get a little history where we were. 30 years we've been married, and thank you, 30 years. We're happily married today, but it didn't come without work, forgiveness, without putting the effort in, without making our marriage a priority, without pursuing the heart of one another. And if we want it to stay happy, then we'll have to continue those practices so that we can press on and enjoy the relationship that God has given us. And so that's why I want to bring us to priority and pursuit today. And I want to take us to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18. This is in the beginning. God created the first married couple, Adam and Eve, and He designed a perfect way for us to be married. And so from these accounts, we can learn the principle of priority and pursuit. And so it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone, and I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" I kind of consider it a little humorous. It's not good for a man to be alone. Let me just say this. Does this mean that if you are not married, that something is wrong with you or that something is missing in your life? Because it could kind of look that way. It's not good for, you know, a person to be alone. And I don't want to say to you, no, that's not what this is saying. I want you to know, if you are not married, you are complete and whole. There isn't anything you lack in life if you have Jesus in your life. Amen. Your life and your destiny is not dependent on you marrying the right person. All of your dependency, all of your joy, all of your fulfillment is found in the Lord. And so we're talking about marriage, but that doesn't mean unmarried, you are like in a deficit place, because the Lord is all we ever need, right? Right? Amen. Now, although I will say that God did place within every person a desire to be in relationships. And I think that we can know that that desire is there for every person. Parents and brothers and sisters and cousins and grandparents and what do you call your grandparents and what do you call your extended cousins? And, you know, like Harriet and I, we've forced Casey's and Jared's little daughter to call me Champ. So I'm part of the extended family. I'm Champ for her. Amen? Champ. Listen, if you're going to come up with a grandparent name, you just come up with one you really want to be. I'm like, I'm going to be Champ. And so Champ and Hattie. So, but listen, we have these relationships, and God, you know, puts that desire for us to have relationships, and we can find fulfillment in all these relationships and friendships that are around us. God placed that in us. Now, I want you to know, though, out from all of those relationships, the closest and the most intimate relationship can only be found in a marriage between a husband and wife. That was God's plan for that to be the closest relationship. That doesn't mean without that you're missing something, but the closest relationship you could ever have is through a husband and wife. Now, one quick thought here before I move on, because this verse says that I will make a helper who is just right for him, obviously speaking of the wife in this situation. And I just want you ladies to know this, that helper sometimes gets a little misunderstood in this verse. And sometimes ladies, I think, kind of get a little bit of a bad rap along the way. And that can sound like they're supposed to be like weak and just supportive of the husband. And your job is to do the dishes around the house and clean up after him and be his helper. And listen, that's the last thing that this was really talking about. The word helper comes from a Hebrew word. And I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but I believe it's Ezer, E-Z-E-R. And it means, and let me just tell you another verse to help you understand what it means. In Psalms 121, it says, my help comes from the Lord. So my help comes from the Lord. So the Lord isn't weak, and he doesn't come to do my dishes. Listen, the Lord comes to save the day, right? The Lord is strong, and he is powerful. And so I just want you to know that your spouse is coming to be strong and powerful, and there's nothing weak about your spouse, whether male or female. And I will tell you that my greatest warrior and defender in all my life is all packaged up as a beautiful stick of dynamite right here on the front row. I would describe her as dynamite with lipstick on, because she is powerful, and I'm happy to be married to a strong, powerful woman in my life. So let's never underestimate the strength and the role of a godly woman. Amen? Amen. So it says, give out a good clap. Come on, guys, you ought to be clapping for that. Say, amen, I want a strong wife. So a man shouldn't be alone. And so it says in verse 21, so the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out of one of the man's ribs and closed up that opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. I was just thinking about the kind of the symbolic nature of this, of where he causes this man to, you know, go to sleep, and he takes from the rib and forms a woman out of that. And I think what he's doing is demonstrating the potential depth and the intimacy of kind of intermingling two lives and two souls together. That the closeness of that relationship is intended to be more than skin deep. It should be the closest intimate relationship you have. And so I think that God intended for the relationship of a husband and wife to be where some kind of parts of me are part of her and part of her are part of me. And it just is intermingled. My rib and her, you know, body is symbolizing that closeness and that intimacy. And so I think that's a big part of what that's about. I also like this thought here. It says that he brought her to the man. Well, if you've ever been to a wedding ceremony, and most traditionally, a spiritual father or a father will escort the daughter down to be with the man. And so I kind of like this thought where it says God brought her to the man. And we kind of base our ceremonies that way, to where, you know, in this situation, God brought her to the husband or to the man, where a father or a spiritual father often escorts the girl down to meet her husband. And so I just kind of like that thought. But I want you to kind of picture this moment. The Lord brings her to the man. And in Genesis 2:23, he says, at last, And I'm like, wow, you know, like he's flabbergasted, you know. He's like, check this out. Thank you, Lord. And I don't know how long. He's like, at last, like he's been waiting for years, but it was like created in 7 days. So like at last, though, listen, when you're waiting on your bride, listen, it is always at last. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Guys, this, I'm setting you up. You say, yes, Lord. Verse 24 and 25 give us the basis for our sermon today on priority and pursuit. Genesis 2, 24 and 25 says, therefore shall a man leave, everybody say leave, his father and mother, and shall cleave, say cleave, unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed. So, leave and cleave. Let me just park here for just a moment, and then we'll talk about these two thoughts for, as we kind of finish out here. But to leave. Before a person marries, the most important relationship bond is with his or her parents. So God said, leave your parents so that you can cleave to your wife. Leaving doesn't mean we turn our back on our parents. It meant, though, that at marriage, we are supposed to relinquish the highest position of commitment and devotion previously given to our parents in order to give that position to our spouse. Amen? That's the reprioritizing of your life. It's where we had this high priority of that relationship with our parents, and now we are reprioritizing and saying, my spouse is the most important relationship in my life. If we put marriage in any other position of priority, it will not work. It will struggle. So leaving is about reprioritizing. Now the word cleave, in the Hebrew Bible, it defines cleave to catch by pursuit. So it's like, it's to catch, but you pursue it. It's a continual catching and a continually pursuing. I would maybe say it like this. We actively hold on for dear life. It's because, like, I'm cleaving, you know, I'm hanging on. I am pursuing that relationship. And so those two thoughts of leave and cleave become the place of prioritizing and pursuing that relationship. And so let's talk about the priority side of it for just a moment. Many marriages struggle, I believe, because of misplaced priorities. What that means is that we are putting in the necessary work to build other things in our life at the expense of putting in the necessary work to build our relationship with our spouse. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do other things. Like, you still have to go to work and you still have other friendships, but it's at the expense of building the relationship with your spouse. I'm not saying that we should spend every waking hour with our spouse, that you have to think about your spouse all the time. Honestly, that sounds clingy, that sounds smothering, and that sounds awful to me. All right, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if you don't consistently and routinely invest in your marriage, it will struggle. And so if you let everything else crowd out the moments that you can invest into your marriage, then it will struggle. Now, we all know in the beginning of any marriage, prioritizing your spouse isn't hard. That honeymoon phase, like, you know, everything is everything about your spouse. The honeymoon phase. People have been married for 30 years, you still remember the honeymoon phase. You can't stop holding hands and, you know, and sneaking kisses and surprising each other with gifts. And, you know, you're writing love notes to each other. You're sharing stories and dreams. It's a great season. I think our honeymoon phase lasted about a month. Because she learned real quick that I didn't clean up the way she cleaned up. And so we had a reality check pretty quick. Reprioritizing begins the day after the honeymoon season. And what happens is real life happens, and bills and debts and jobs and children and, you know, school and golf and you know, and all those things start to get in the priority zone. Honestly, for Harriet and I, church is the thing that probably tries to crowd out our relationship more than anything else, because we both love church. We both love you. And if you just leave us alone, we'll talk about church all the time, and we'll neglect other things in our life because we do church. And so that can be unhealthy for us. I don't know what your thing that crowds into your life that helps push out your priorities, but we have to be careful to not let things crowd out the most important part of your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. What are those priorities real quick? God, always. God always. Second is marriage. Third, children. Now, some of you mamas are like, well, I love my babies. And I'm not saying don't love your babies, all right? You just need to know this, and I just in reality is your babies are going to grow up, and they're going to leave the house one day. And what are you going to have left? If you haven't put priorities into your relationship with your spouse, then you're going to struggle. Can I get an amen? Church is fourth. You're like, church is fourth? No, I know all y'all are like, yes, church is fourth. I'll be honest with you. I would not live in a city and work in a city that I didn't have a great church to attend. So that's just how I see it. Then work and all other things. So priorities. Can I get an amen on priorities? Amen. Pursuit. Pursuit. So cleave means to catch by pursuit. So it's Valentine's. And we all know what Valentine's all about. Pursuit. The secret to a thriving marriage is that common four-letter word. Everybody know what that four-letter word is? Go ahead, say it to me. No. The secret, look on the screen, to staying in love is work. You're not going to feel like loving all the time. You're going to have to work. Those who work at love will stay in love. If you just think you're going to love and love and love and life isn't going to get in the way and priorities aren't going to get misplaced, that's not going to work. Marriage only works when you work at it. The push that causes that downward slide in our marriage is a lack of effort and laziness. When we start taking one another for granted, we try to live on yesterday's memories, then that downward spiral can happen. I believe that your relationship with your spouse is either growing or declining, but it never stays neutral. It's either going better or going backwards. And you can feel it if you're married. You can feel it. You know when it's going better and you know when it's not. You feel those ebbs and flows as they go. But generally, they're either getting better or they're getting worse, and it all depends on whether or not you're working at it. Whether we say it or not, most people believe that if we just marry the right person, that we should not have to work at that relationship to stay in love. We married the right person. So, like, love ought to just work. Like, somehow we believe that love is this thing that just bonds everything together and we'll just always love and there's nothing going to mess that up and love is just that mystical thing. Well, listen, love is kind of fleeting at times and love, like, so, because love is sometimes just tied to an emotion. So we can't just believe that it's going to just happen. The reason many marriages are slowly fading is because we're not consistently working on the relationship. You probably heard this and I'll repeat it because I think it's so true, but if you ever believe that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, then it's time to water your own lawn. Right on? Here's my point. Many couples fail to pursue the person that they're married to. They learn to manage their daily affairs together. They pay their bills. They schedule children's activities. They run their households. But they neglect the pursuit of the actual person they once fell in love with. Your spouse is more than your family management partner. They are your companion, your friend, your lover, the person you laugh with, the most trusted person in your life, the one person that you can share your deepest thoughts and fears and dreams with. And it's important to pursue the relationship, the person, on a consistent and regular basis. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, married people, rate yourself. How healthy is your relationship right now? How well do you prioritize your marriage? How well do you pursue the health of your marriage? How are you doing with that? I want to encourage you to not be satisfied with a good working relationship. You want to have a thriving marriage. In the verse that I read in Genesis, it said that when they leave and cleave, when they priority and pursued, it says there was oneness then, and it said they were naked, they were unashamed. It's talking about the deepest place of intimacy, not just physically, but just the relational intimacy. And that's the hope that God has for us, that we would have that kind of relationship. Your marriage should get stronger every year. If you were to do surveys, you'd find out that most marriages get weaker every year. And we want to turn that around, and you do that through consistent pursuit, priority and pursuit. So I want Harriet to come up with me. Would you all just kind of cheer for her and tell her how much you love her? That's awesome. Awesome. Grab that mic right there beside you, babe. We want to just make it practical for just a moment. And maybe give us a way to take this home today. But first, do you have anything you need to add to what I said or take away or fix? Or because sometimes I'll sit down beside her and she'll, you might want to re-say that. I'm good. Awesome. That's a good day right there. She has plenty to say. She's dynamite. I get you. So what we want to do is to give a challenge to our church today. A challenge to especially those who are married. A marriage tune-up challenge for 3 weeks. So this is a three-week series, and so we want to give you a challenge. And I want to base this challenge off of how you would develop your relationship with the Lord. Because the relationship with God is very similar to that, because if you don't do anything, your relationship with God feels distant. Now, He hasn't gone anywhere, but that closeness just isn't there. And if you want a great relationship with the Lord, you have daily time with God. You're having your prayer time and you're reading your word. And then you have, on a weekly basis, an extended time of spending time with the Lord at church. And so we want to take that pattern and give us a challenge in our marriages so that we can have a marriage tune-up challenge. And so if you'd put the next screen up for me. And so we'll start first here with a daily challenge. So 15 to 30 minutes of FaceTime conversation with your spouse. 15 to 30 minutes. So talk, pray, and I put kiss in there. I read not long ago, I was reading about kissing, and it said that even a short 1 second kiss releases the hormones and endorphins that are bonding in a relationship. And so just like, you don't have to make out, but like, I mean, you can, but a kiss would be great. Here we go. Why don't you take over for a minute? Why don't you talk about how to have a daily 15 to 30 minutes together?
One of the things, can I talk about this part now?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that's kind of hard when you have little children, it's sort of hard because you're kind of like, that when you go to sit down together to talk, they want to come and get in the middle of that. How many of you have ever noticed that has happened? So what was really revelatory for Tim and I.
Still today.
What? Was this, we had a revelation after Eli was born that we were already a family, and that Eli did not make us a family. He just was a welcome part of the family. And the only way that you can put this first is if you are not child-centered.
That's good.
And so what we did something very practical. We set the kitchen timer. Now, you can use your smartphones. We didn't have all that 26 years ago. But we set the kitchen timer, and we would tell him, Mommy and Daddy are going to have our time to talk. And we did this right when Tim came home from work. And we're going to talk, and we're going to catch up on our day, and you're going to make yourself busy. You're going to play, but you're not going to interrupt us. Now, he would at first interrupt us, and we had to train him not to do that. And then when the buzzer went off and the kitchen timer went off, Tim immediately turned his attention from me and went and played and did all the things and poured into his little life. But we felt like it was so important for Eli, because he was the first one, Bailey wasn't born yet, to see that this is healthy, that this is united, that this is not divided, that it's not the three of us together, it's mom and dad with a welcome member of the family. And that's how you keep from becoming child-centered. When every time your child comes up, you stop what you're doing and attend to that. And I'm not saying you let their needs go unmet, but it's just very important that you don't become child-centered in your parenting, because what that does is it really does split your family. And that was kind of a thing that we had to learn how to do.
It's possible to have a 15 to 30 minute conversation,
yes. Oh,
even
yeah.
with children.
For sure.
I want to
yeah.
say, if you're a single parent, one of the things that we would encourage you to do is the exact same thing, only you open your Bible and you tell your
yes.
children that you're having time with the Lord, and let them see you having time with the Lord. That'll build that same type of security and confidence into them as they are watching you spend time with the Lord. But it's tough, parents, because your children, they're cute. They want your attention. And when you first enter into this, I mean, they want your attention more than anything. They're like, I want your attention. So, you know, you help them out. You give them books and things to play with. I mean, you set them up for success. But you have that time. And so one of the things we want to do is encourage all couples, whether you have, you know, just married, small children at home, or if you're empty nesters at our stage, that you intentionally have 15 to 30 minutes together to talk. And so what are you going to talk about? All kinds of things. I would try not to talk about the kids. For us, we're going to not talk about you guys in church. Because we love
we're
you.
Church junkies.
But we're going to not talk about church. We're going to catch up on church. How was your day? Tell me what was positive in your day, highlight of your day, low part of your day. Kind of when you get through all that and you want to keep talking, maybe you come up with a longer discussion. You break it up into little segments. Maybe it's like, hey, let's go through some goals together. You share your goal for 2020, and I want to listen to your goals. And then next day, we're doing one of my goals. And so you break it, but you learn to talk. The art of conversation is fading in our culture, and so learning to talk again is really helpful. And you'll never have a strong marriage without being able to talk together. And so start with a 15 to 30 minute time of talking together. Now, let's just be real. You're not going to be successful 7 days in a row with that. No more than you're successful with spending time with the Lord every single morning. And because things, you know how it goes. I would say if you got in 3 to 4 times a week, I would applaud you and say, good job. You know, you're doing a good job. But maybe there's a pattern here for you. Maybe you find those perfect nights to do that. Maybe you know your kids' basketball schedule. You know, Tuesday night, we're never going to do that together, you know. And so you don't sweat it. But you need to find 3 to 4 nights a week that you can spend together and talk. The next part we want to encourage you to do is to say a prayer for each other. Prayer is one of the things that will always take those conversations and bring real meaning and kind of hope to it. Even if you get into a little negative spot, and that happens with couples, maybe not with each other, but, you know, a down moment, a down day. And so how do you turn that around? Well, you pray. I would say that probably, I have no study on this, but I would say that probably the majority of couples never pray for one another.
They might pray for each other, but not in their presence.
Yeah. And so we want to encourage you to do that. A couple other things here, a couple rules. Harriet mentioned children need to put boundaries there. Harriet probably will want to harp on this one a little longer, but I'm going to cut her off because it's no distractions, meaning TVs need to be turned off and cell phones need to be turned over. Because Harriet will look at me quite often and go, turn the phone off. Because there's that addictive nature that I have to a cell phone. Do you want to add to
well,
that?
Well, I mean, I just think it's just important that we're not just staring at our phones all the time and that we don't have screens on all the time. And it's very hard to connect when all of that is going on and you've got all this access. You know, our cell phones now, we don't really use them as phones. We use them for every other thing. But there really are connection points with other people. And so you want to make sure when you're doing this that you're not just connecting with other people the whole time, too.
Perfect. Okay. So Challenge part one is 15 to 30 minutes, talk, pray, kiss. Then weekly, a date night. You may be thinking, man, that's going to cost a lot of money. We're never going to get out, and go see the movies once a week. And I understand that. That's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying you need an extended time, though, once a week, where you are doing something together that is just the two of you, having fun together, doing something together. And so let me give you kind of three quick aspects of a date night. Number one, it needs to be an intentional investment into the relationship because everything else crowds out a night together. Now, we're talking 3 weeks. If you can get in 2 out of 3, great. Maybe as an ongoing pattern in your life, maybe it's a once a month, maybe it's an every other week or something. Maybe you're a rock star and you can get in every week. But you need to be intentional about it because dating takes effort, planning, and purpose. Hey, the last thing she ever wants is for me to get in the car with her and go, where you want to go?
Oh, you're right, yes.
That doesn't work. So you have to put some time and energy, enough thought into us, plan out something. The best thing you can do is sit down and say, hey, what night are we going to have our date night? It's going to be Thursday night. All right, perfect. Thursday night. Then you can come up with a quick decision. Are we going to do a date night at home where we're going to watch a movie together? Are we going to go out this time? What do you want? And then somebody needs to plan that and put it on the calendar. If you don't calendar it in and you don't plan it, it's never going to work out real great because something always comes up. There's always something that's going to vie for your attention. And so you have to be very intentional about making it happen because it doesn't just happen. Relationships never just happen. You have to pursue it. Second thing is make it an opportunity to talk if possible. Always spend some time chatting with each other. We just went through some things with that, and so always have time to talk. And the third, be creative. Make it special. So be creative. If you want to have a date night at home, maybe kids go to bed at 8 o'clock, and so your date night is from 8 to 9:30, and you're going to watch a movie together, and you're going to do what, you're going to have, popcorn and, I don't know, whatever you want to do. But you can have a time at home if you want. We live in a city. There's so many things to do that doesn't even cost money. You can just walk on the beach together, and, man, you've had a night, that's awesome. You could go downtown and walk the river walk, and you can do that. There's so many things. You can go down to Carolina Beach and eat Brit's Donuts, and, that's always, you can't since you're celiac, but so it's fun for me. yay me.
Well, the other thing is make sure that you're doing something that that both of you like, and you may not like the same thing every single time. It's fine. It's like when Tim asked me to go out on the beach in his Jeep for hours and hours and just be out there, and I just don't want to do it. And so I kind of put it in this form. I was like, let me try to make it understandable to you. Would you want to go with me to get a cup of coffee and then go to Home Goods and walk every single aisle for hours today with me this afternoon?
That's when you need to date your daughter.
So, yes. So make sure that, for your date night or your date lunch, I know Whip and Susan have lunch together every Monday. I love that. Just something that's consistent. It may be that it's breakfast for you guys, or that's the best time for you, that it's hard to get, people to take care of your children, child care people. So it's just make sure that it's something that both of you, are kind of, you're giving and taking. So you don't both have to love it, but it needs to be something that both of you kind of enjoy, and there should be things that you enjoy together.
Maybe if you plan this way, maybe like 1 week I plan it and we do what I want to do. Next week she plans, we do what she wants to do, and so you make it work that way.
If y'all see us walking the aisles of Home Goods, you will know what we're doing.
Pray for me. Tim has taken one for the team. Relationships take work. listen, if you have young children and you're in a life group, and there's another family with young children. Maybe you work out some system where this week we take care of children, and then you can go out, and the following week we swap off, and that way you don't have to pay for child care that way. Just get creative, but you got to make it happen. Here's the deal. Usually we don't put in that much work to make it happen, and then over time it stops happening, and then we wonder, why aren't we having fun anymore? Why are we just managing the house together? And the reason is you didn't put the work in. Yeah. Amen? Really good. Amen. Amen. All right. Part one. You like it? Come on, give it a clap. Give it a clap. So good. So good. Thank you, honey, for being here. I look forward to our date. It's Valentine's week. Yeah. We're going out.
Yes,
it's going to be
are.
Great. Awesome. 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 Hey, just before I close, if you're here today and you have never begun a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ, then I want to give you that invitation today. I want you to have an opportunity. We've talked about the relationship of a spouse and how special that is. There's nothing compares, though, to having a relationship with the Lord and having all your sins forgiven, having every need in your life met through Him. And we can find that through Jesus. And I want to just make this opportunity, if you've never said a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to lead you in that prayer today. So would you just bow your heads with me? Father, if there are people here that have never said yes to Jesus, would you draw them to you now? Let's all say this prayer out loud together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He died for me that I can be free from my sin and be forgiven. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One more prayer. Keep your heads bowed. Father, I pray for marriages. Lord, I ask that you would help all the marriages be strengthened. We ask that from today forward, we begin to put some principles in place that would help strengthen the marriages. And so, Lord, use this to begin something fresh and new in the marriages in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.